Welcome, Dr. Mary Ryan. Thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest.
I'm delighted to be here, Darren, not at all.
It's a privilege to have you. You're a wealth of knowledge.
Thank you.
And the idea of my podcast is to, you know, get experts in their field and educate us all, educate me and educate the listeners.
Absolutely.
And I get asked time and time again about hormones, menopause, PMS, mm-hmm. fertility difficulties, hormonal imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And as a GP, I can only go so far. So we have the expert here today.
Not at all. I'm delighted, Darren. Delighted to be here and delighted to educate all your audience. So delighted to be here.
It's very, very important to
educate, because only when people understand, and women in particularly, and this is an area we haven't done, it's never been done. And it's great that you're opening this up and that we're educating women, because for generations, women have suffered and been treated like second-class citizens. And it's time now for equality, female empowerment. We're in that age and we're bringing health along with it. And it's so important.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Mary. Yeah. So can we just start off with hormonal imbalance, which I get asked about so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I always say to my patients, it all starts, I was talking to you yesterday evening when we were preparing for this, and it all starts with that hormone control centre, the conductor of the orchestra, which is the pituitary gland, which is right on top of your nose. And that controls all the hormones. And what people need to realise is hormones control your muscles, so every muscle in your body. So what I say to patients is, think of a skeleton. The bones of the skeleton are completely covered with muscles. Okay. And all those muscles need to be primed with a hormone, and they can't operate without a hormone. So if those muscles gland and the hormone control center is well recharged, like your phone at night. So we all use our phones all day, but we plug them in at night. If we do not plug them in, they don't operate the same way, right?
Yes.
And they go in the red, okay? So we're the very same, but we forget that. And as particularly as women, we forget that, because mm-hmm. we're brought up with this sort of sense of caring and a sense of that we always have to think of everyone else but apart from ourselves. Men don't. Believe it or not, they're brought up, because their mothers have empowered them, where they always, I've studied this, mothers empower sons and they treat sons and daughters differently. And I'm always telling older women this and telling mothers this, that you have to empower your girls and boys equally, and make sure that, you know, if you ask your boy to do something and the girl the same, but don't expect the girls over the boy to do more, because you'll burn them out otherwise. But going back to the hormone control centre, so that is where we charge to operate, because hormones work in a circadian rhythm, and they basically in order to operate properly, they have to be already charged, that control center. So hormones come down a peripheral nerve like a branch of a tree and supply every muscle in your body, right?
Okay, yes.
So as women, we're a little bit more vulnerable, because at puberty we have that FSH hormone, which is secreting from the hormone control center to push our eggs to produce the ovary to produce eggs, right?
Yes.
So that is for the first year, that's very regular, but then after 12 months it should settle. However, in some women it doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. And those women have FSH over secretion. And the FSH hormone not only pushes your eggs to the ovaries to produce eggs, but also pushes all estrogen receptors. So that's why those women get breast cysts. That's why those women have extra heavy periods. That's why those women will go on to have endometriosis down the road. And that's something we're only understanding now. And we both know women for generations that were sent home in school with the hot water bottle and they'd 7-day periods, and that wasn't right.
Sure.
And they should only be 3-4 days at most. And if they're above that, then that FSH rhythm is out. Okay. So we'll come back to that later, right? But the other important thing is the ovulation. So if your hormone control center is well recharged and operating the way it should be, you ovulate day 14. To ovulate your LH hormone, and I hope I'm sounding nice, I want to explain it.
Yeah, yeah.
The LH hormone has to go right up into a peak.
The surge.
Remember?
Yes, the LH surge. I know that one.
Yeah, yeah. Carol. So the LH goes right up in a surge, and it really has to go up into that peak to ovulate. Now, loads of women go halfways. And loads of women think just because they've a period, they've ovulated. They haven't, right?
Yeah.
So the common thing I get in the fertility league is women coming in, they haven't got pregnant, and they're all thinking, they're coming in, unfortunately, some of the with endoscopies, and I go mad. Because I know straight away, looking at them, this woman is overtired. She's just not ovulating.
Yeah.
So that's a key message I want to get out, that women, if you're trying to get pregnant, you've got to be 10 out of 10 energy.
Yes.
You've got to be, and not 10 out of 10 with a push. I mean 10 out of 10 without a push,
sure.
right? Yeah. That's the key. Yeah. So I always say that to women. So in order to get for, to get pregnant, you have to be 10 out of 10 for that hormone control centre to be operating properly. And yeah. that's key. So that's one message I really want to get across. So with that hormone centre, as you said, controls all the hormones. But in women, the FSH, LH at puberty, that's key. And then I know we were talking about PMS, Darren. So what happens in PMS again, if that ratio is off or if the pituitary gland is tired, yes. then you're more likely to get PMS, right? Which okay. is where you get very vulnerable around and very tired and very emotional around the mid-cycle.
Yes.
And that's purely because women are overdoing it usually. The hormone control centre is tired. Remember, that's controlling all of the hormones, all which control all the muscles. So that's why you get aching. Yeah. Because yeah. the hormones yes. are down at every nerve muscle junction.
Yeah.
You're not sleeping right either. Because if the hormones yeah. are off, muscle can't relax, so then you don't sleep.
That's for yes. me personally, one yeah. of the symptoms.
Yeah.
Previously, many like years ago, say when I was a hospital doctor.
Yes, yeah.
Exhausted,
absolutely.
Mary.
Absolutely. You know what it's like. It's criminal. It's criminal.
You're crazy.
I know.
Right. But my PMS was a lot worse, and I did yeah. get all of those aches, yeah. pains. Terrible mood. It was really, really bad PMS.
Absolutely.
For the most part, I feel like I am rested now, and I am, I think, close to the 10 out of 10 that you described.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah.
But still, though, the insomnia that I'm wired during PMS, that's for me is one of the things. So, yeah, maybe I'm not as close to 10 out of 10 as I think, because yeah. I do get insomnia.
What I sort of think we need to do as women is stop comparing ourselves to others, which in social media people do all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone is different, right? I need sleep. I'm one of those that cannot function without sleep. So
same.
Internship and SHO, I really suffered because I just, you know, I'm one of those yeah. that need. And there's an awful lot of women out there that are the same and there's some that aren't. Okay.
Yes.
It's like breastfeeding. Breastfeeding isn't for every woman, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because for the woman that comes into me with pituitary fatigue where they're exhausted and hormones all over the place, right? Mm. I always say to them, look, don't breastfeed because you're not going to be able for it because it's going to be feeding on demand. You need your
yeah.
sleep and you're going to just come back into me with hormones all over the place, aches and pains in the muscles. And what I forgot to say was not only do you not get sleep when you have hormone imbalance, but you also get IBS. So yes. the bowel is 5 metres okay. long wrapped up in itself of muscle, right?
Yeah.
So if that's circadian rhythm is off because your hormone control centre is off, you're going to get bloating, passing wind, belching, as
yes.
well as aches and pains, as well as the exhaustion, as well as the insomnia. And you're also going to get memory loss. And just because you get memory loss, you don't have dementia, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because this is a big thing. I get it all the time with women coming in saying, you know what, is there something
brain
wrong?
Brain fog or
yes.
yeah, forgetting things.
And
yeah.
all of that is that there's hormone imbalance. Estrogen levels are down because more than likely you didn't
okay.
ovulate because that LH didn't go up to the
yes.
peak. And when estrogen levels are down, estrogen controls memory. The synapses, okay. those little things that go between each cell to create memory, they're also sluggish. That's all it is. So
incredible.
The message I want to get out to your followers, Darren, is that women have got to stop questioning themselves. They've got to stop yeah. labelling themselves as depressed. Depression is overdiagnosed in women. It annoys me,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
You know, when you're tired, it's just because the hormone control centre is tired. It's because
yeah.
you could have had a heavy period, you could be overdoing it,
yeah.
you mightn't have got your sleep. And, you know, as women, we need to up the self-esteem. Right,
yeah.
We're not brought up. I've got three young children, and I'm very much into bringing them up equally,
yeah.
because I saw when you know in the previous generation they weren't, and as a result, girls feel they should do more. Boys are very empowered to say no; they know where the boundaries
yeah.
are. You know, when it comes to looking after, as we both, I see it in the hospital a lot, where the girls are always looking after the parents. The boys feel it's
yeah.
not their duty, and they're
yeah.
not even requested to do so,
yeah.
and that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I think we have to send a message out to women. Look at, you know, with regard to parent care, it's very important that we do look after our parents. I hate the selfishness of not,
but we
need to everybody else should.
And Mary, the word you hit on there was selfish.
Yes.
And I think sometimes to mind yourself and
totally.
Then therefore,
yeah.
you know, being able to kind of mind your children or family, but to
totally.
Do in the first instance have to be a little bit selfish to make sure you're okay in the first instance. Because, and I think as well, getting a good night's sleep it can be quite selfish. It's a selfish
you
thing
have
sometimes.
To do it. Well, as yeah. you so rightly pointed out, if you're not healthy yourself, you can't look after anyone else.
Completely.
You're no good to them.
Yeah.
So not only are we looking after fertility and your well-being, but also remember hormones control the immune system. And this is why
yeah.
autoimmune disease is way more common in women. That's where the immune system attacks different glands. So that's why women have a higher instance of thyroid disease. Yeah. You know, it's way higher, 90% higher in women, as we know. So women have got to cop on, and they've got to love themselves. They've got to say no, and they've got to be the same as men in where men know the boundaries. They, when they're tired, they sit. When women are tired, what do?
Just
they keep running. Crazy, you know? I always say to women...
Keep going.
Yeah. And I always say to women when they're tired, you know, learn to sit. Get rid of the guilt. Women have this guilt. Get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
What's the guilt all about? Just sit, listen to your body. Your body's telling you're a highly intelligent individual. Your body's telling you're wrecked. Go with it. Tomorrow's another day. We'll all be around Claire 90, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
You can... But we have to do that. But men are brilliant to do. Learn from them and say we. And the other thing I'm going to say is that I get loads of young women, amazing women coming into me, really intelligent, but their personal self-esteem is rubbish, right? Mm. So, for example, I'm just going to give you an analogy of a woman. I spoke to you about this last night, of a wonderful accountant that came into me, right? And she, I had helped her with fertility of her two children. So she was 49, had two lovely kids, 4 and 2, right? Wonderful, miracles. And we'll talk about the IVF down the road, but there were two lovely miracles. And she came into me and I she was exhausted. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I have aches and pains, I have IBS, I'm not sleeping, my energy level is 2 out of 10. I just can't function. I hear that so much. Mm. And by the way, she was sweating and she thought she was menopausal. And she wasn't. Because what happens is when the body is really tired, what happens is that adrenaline is secreted, right?
Yes.
To try and pump it up. But the body's very clever. So the muscle receptors won't take up the adrenaline because it'll just flog them to death. So goes into the bloodstream and you get palpitations and sweating, particularly at night. So all the listeners, there'll be loads of them that have those symptoms.
There's so many light bulbs just going off in
absolutely.
My head.
Yeah. So all you need to do there is plug in. But that woman came in with that thinking she was menopausal. She wasn't. Now she was perimenopausal, and we'll come to that later on. Mm. But what was wrong with her was that she was taking it all on. She wasn't asking her partner for any help whatsoever. Now he had signed up to having the two kids as well, right? Mm-hmm. If she saw herself as equal, she would have just asked. You don't have to have arguments.
Yeah.
A lot of women say to me, but I haven't the energy to be fighting. You don't have to fight. You just have to empower yourself to see yourself as an equal, and you have to say, darling, I'm out for my yoga lesson now. You pick up the kids. You make the dinner.
Yeah.
Don't be rushing home to make the dinner. Leave the clothes out. Do everything that women always do before they go out. You know, because then it's useless. You might as well not go out because you're exhausted.
This is it.
Do you understand? That's where we need to change.
I totally agree. And I mean, look, I'm not a mother, but I do. I've seen it for years.
Absolutely.
As a GP, women come in and they're whether it's just a head cold, tonsillitis or whatever, but they leave it get to the worst point, and they say everyone was sick and I brought my son to the GP and then my husband went and then I brought my daughter and all the while I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker.
Absolutely.
Because they leave themselves until very, very last.
Totally.
It's just something I see in mothers all the time, that everyone and everything comes, and they really do put themselves to the bottom of the pile.
And I think it goes back to the way society treats women. It has treated women. I think we're changing things, Darren, and this is wonderful that we're having this conversation. And you know, we're bringing men along with them, because for years, you know, women have been left on the fringes, and we're now, as educated women, saying, "Hang on, here, there's a relationship here between women not being empowered and their health, because hormones control the immune system and hormones control the muscles." So if women aren't empowered to look after themselves, there's going to be consequences.
Yes.
So this is the reason we're here, because we want to educate women that you are equal, so treat yourself as equal. But society also has to treat women as equal, which it's not doing, okay?
Yeah.
And that's why we have to talk about, you know, in society, where gender equality with regard to pay, because all of this, if women are treated differently, they're going to seep in as if, well, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You'll and take that's where, the message that I'm
absolutely
lower.
Absolutely lower. And that's where we need to talk, and we need to change things. And I'm going to keep beating
such an
that drum.
Message.
So important. But women, you know, we can do a lot, all of us women, from of all ages, by saying, hang on here, I'm going to, you know, ask my daughter to do, or my son to do the same as my daughter with regard to caring for the elderly parents.
Yep.
You know, that's very important. I'm going to ask my young son to do the same as my little girl at home. Same thing. I think we need to do that as well.
Yeah.
Very important.
You know, it's the reason I remember actually the first day I met you for about 30 seconds.
Yes,
Bernie,
at BO.
Introduced me to you. And you made this point, and I came home and I said, to Peter, I said, I have to talk to that woman. I have to talk to that woman, because you're so right in what you're saying. And I think we all kind of maybe subconsciously know it, but we're not saying it.
Totally. And I come from a farming background, and I'm the oldest of four, right?
Okay.
But the reason I saw this was that I loved farming, but I knew at a very young age, probably at the age of six, even though we were brought out on the farm because my mother was a teacher as well, that never was I going to inherit that farm. My brother, there was three girls, there's three girls and one boy, because I wasn't a male. Mm. And that's very entrenched in Irish society, and we need to change that. And I keep saying to my patients, you know, I had one lovely man that came in and he said, I have seven daughters and no one to leave the farm to. And these women had come in with him each visit. And I said, hang on here. I said, your name has been well diluted generations because there's been a Lovett or there's been a Cleary or there's been a whatever, right? Mm. And he looked at me because he thought, you know, and I think that's another conversation we'll have about the name. Should we do a double barrel name, for example? Because women, by handing over their name, are handing over their identity.
And that's
the thing that we probably need to talk about at some point, because that, you know, we need to talk equality, because that is what's going to, if women see themselves as equal or treated equally in society, then they're going to be empowered. The boundaries are going to be there. They're going to say no. They're going to eat healthily. They're going to have their proper rest.
Yes.
You know, they're going to pace. And when you're seen, when you're empowered yourself, people will actually respect you, as we all know.
Absolutely,
that's all part of it. So if you see yourself as being, you know, constantly doing everything, you'll be led to it.
Yes.
That's the reality.
I totally agree.
Yeah, so we just have to, that's the message I want to get across, that I want women to, you know, up their game, love themselves, learn to say no, treat themselves as equals, and really learn the boundaries. And that way we will have a lot healthier society, because the pituitary gland will be recharged, hormones will be right, there'll be less hormone imbalance, and hormones controls the immune system as well as the muscles, so they won't be going around tired, they won't have aches and pains, they won't have IBS, they'll be sleeping right, and they'll be happier
and less.
That's what it's all about.
Disease. And I mean, even less cancer, because
question. I'm absolutely convinced, absolutely convinced, and that's why we have a higher risk of breast cancer now and gynecological cancer. I'm absolutely convinced, because women of today are way more under stress than the women of my mother's generation.
Yes.
Because they're working outside of the home, as well as in the home. I think men are brilliant. I'm not too down, because I have two beautiful boys as well. But I think men have to step up. There's some amazing men, but there's some men that are not pulling their weight. And I regularly pick up the phone in the clinic and ring them and say, look, your wife is exhausted. I need you to do this. But, you know, definitely it's up to women to ask for that respect too, though.
Totally.
And that's, but there's a big education we have to do with society.
There is. Yeah. There really is. And I think, look, there are good men for sure,
and amazing men, and I meet them all the time. There are some that need to step up.
But exactly. But I think that, you know, it's kind of like it's a learning process, and it's like learning that we're doing this together as a team. And even if you say if you have a woman who's used to doing everything and she feels like everything is her responsibility, you can change that habit and pattern over time. Doesn't need to be a fight or an argument or anything. It's just
totally. And as I said to women often, that we don't have to prove ourselves to be a super mum. We just, you know, if you're a mother, and it's a gift, but you don't have to prove yourself. And that's part of self-esteem. If you have low self-esteem, you're inclined to be a pleaser. Mm-hmm. You're inclined to always want to you know, be the super mum, and there's no need. And I think if you have a higher self-esteem, you don't want to feel the necessary to do that.
Yes.
And I think that's a big point that I always say to women.
Yeah.
But we mentioned PMS. The big thing I always say to women, Darren, is to rest, to pace, but also have the diet correct. And again, you know, the diet, when I say healthy eating, you know, I just want it to keep it simple. I think keeping it simple is the easiest thing to do, isn't it?
You know, the simpler you keep it, the easier.
Absolutely,
it is.
Yeah. So I'm not for weighing food, because I certainly wouldn't have time to weigh food.
In a million years, no, couldn't possibly.
Absolutely. So I always say to people, have porridge in the morning. You know, naturally yogurt. Put your fruit, because you need five portions of fruit. So get a portion of fruit in there. So like a tablespoon of blueberries or your banana or whatever. And porridge takes minutes, because I have to get out in the course of an hour with three kids. So you know, people say to me that don't have time. You do. It takes minutes to do.
This is it. And you just, and again, it's all habit, isn't
absolutely.
It, Mary?
Absolutely.
You can get
absolutely.
Into it,
and what I always say to women is empower the kids to help you. So no matter what age, from four upwards, I get my kids to leave out to lay the table for the following morning. You know, even the porridge saucepan is left out. Yeah. All these little things help, because time runs in the morning, as we all know. You know, it
I'm
just goes.
Sure. Yeah. They like to do that. Like, that's
absolutely.
Sure. You know,
well,
it's just
I do
a
have to
thing.
Ask them as yeah. You know yourself, yeah. You have to nod. But yeah. It's just, yeah, it's part of that. But then the other really important thing is to get 2 glasses of water in. Now, gut health is really important, as we all know, right?
Yeah.
It's really associated with the immune system. So you need 2 glasses of water in before you eat. How do you do that realistically? So I tell my patients, leave a jug of water beside the bed. You take
bed
a big glass the minute you wake up, not during the night, because I don't want sleep disrupted, right? So you take a big glass the minute you wake up, and then a glass after you've showered. There's your 2 glasses into your 5 meters of bowel before you've eaten. So you're getting the metabolism going, right? Because as women, we have a slower metabolism, and if you have thyroid disease, even slower.
Yeah.
So we need to get it going. So that's really important.
Okay.
If you say to me that you hate porridge, then I'll say, just do fruit and natural yogurt. Is that okay? And then 11 o'clock, I want people to have an apple. I have a China cup on my thing. I'm a tea lover, but I've cut myself back deliberately because I'm trying to get more water in. So I have my cup of tea with my apple. So, you know, you people always do tea and a biscuit. So I've changed and do tea and an apple. And if I can do it, I think others can.
We can train ourselves to get into these habits.
Without question, sugar is toxic. So we've got to really keep it down. It's toxic to the pituitary. Pituitary hates it. So we really have to keep it down.
Okay.
So I say to people, 2 treats a week.
Then
lunchtime, you have your lettuce, you have your tomatoes, you have your avocado if you want. You have a boiled egg every day. It's absolutely fine. Even if you have cholesterol, good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm really, do you know what's unusual? A lot of what you're describing, I think intuitively over the years of, because I feel like I definitely lived in an unhealthy way, for sure.
And most people,
And over the years, I've become healthier. But a lot of what you're describing, I think intuitively doing, like I definitely, I have my bottle of water beside the bed. Now I don't drink it overnight. I don't
want to be pale.
But I do, I get up in the morning and I drink the water. I would have maybe about a half a litre of water. Before I have
absolutely
coffee.
Brilliant. No, that's great.
And the egg, I'm happy
protein
that you,
is so important. The one thing with I'm always telling, I'm not anti-vegan at all, but the one thing that we both see as doctors is that people that have cut out, you know, meat tend to be very low in iron and come in with low iron, and I don't want that. So, you know, what I always say to patients is have loads of lettuce because you need the fibre. Have the tomatoes there. Tomatoes are really good for you. Have your tuna, your chicken, your salmon, or if you're vegan, chickpeas or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But you've got to get the protein in. And bread, 2 slices, and that's it. Women are terrible for doing more than that. You can only have 2 slices of bread and preferably brown bread.
Yeah.
And then 3 o'clock have another piece of fruit, because remember, it's all about getting circadian rhythm in the bowel, so you have to eat little and often to keep them tabs and going.
That's great. So that's really interesting, because I didn't know about the little and often. Is that just a faddy trend, or is that real? So that's real.
Yeah, physiologically, just to get the bowel, keep it, and particularly in women, because we have a slow metabolism, so we have to trigger it. You know, and then in the evening, then one potato, say one small potato, half plate of green veg, preferably.
Yeah.
Of course, if you carrots, parsnips, turnips at the weekend, because they're the root veg, they store sugar. So try and get the green veg Monday to Friday if you can.
Okay.
Right. And then your quarter plate of meat or fish.
Okay.
So that would be pasta and rice by all means, but only have a quarter plate. I find patients don't adhere to the quarter plate. They do the half plate. I see it in the diabetics in particular. So just watch that.
Portion control.
Portion control, really important.
With those kind of stodgy carbs.
And then, you know, when you have the kids put to bed or when you have your whatever done, you feel like something, have a natural yogurt and fruit. Get that other portion of fruit in then. That's an idea, as opposed to going for the biscuit.
Totally. I mean, it really is hard to argue with natural yogurt. I mean, it's a snack.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It really is.
How about Greek yogurt?
Greek is fine as well. Slightly high in carbs, but it's fine. It's fine. I actually use Greek yogurt myself because I love it. I prefer it. And I think,
too.
You know, I'm not a sugar eater, so I'm going to have my Greek yogurt and I love it.
I need to improve on sugar. You'd be appalled by me at the weekend. I have to do better, but I'm going to do better from today.
And before I forget to drink, can I just mention exercise in moderation? Women are inclined to overdo it. I see it all the time. When you're tired, that's not when you run, right? When you're tired, you stroll.
Rest.
Yeah. Okay. Remember, I always say it's equated to, I do a lot of sport and I help out a lot with teams. And if you are an injured player, if you run on that injured knee, what are you doing? You're going to exacerbate the injury. In the same way, if your pituitary or your hormone control center is wrecked, by you running, you're just making things worse, right?
Okay.
You have to plug in.
Yes.
You're like a phone in the red, you plug in.
Yeah.
So you stroll. You don't run, you don't power walk. You wait until you get up to 10 out of 10, wait till that hormone control centre is back up to where it should be, and then the hormones are going the way they should, and then you're recharging right. You know, that's the key message.
And Mary, like all of what you're saying, Like it seems like basics, but like it's a lot of it. We don't do it.
No, we don't do it. And we weren't ever told either. Sure, we weren't there. Yes. You know, this is a conversation that we're having now. I think it's because women have come into medicine. We're sort of, we understand women, don't we? And that's why probably we're now researching this. But I think that's why. I really do. I think it's because predominantly it was men in medicine, wasn't it, before this. And now women talk women's issues, don't they? And that's really why.
Yeah. And you're such a wealth of knowledge. And it is so important that like if you are tired, do to just
absolutely
plug in again.
Yeah, get the diet right. And of course there's loads of things you can do medically wise as well, but like thyroid for example, you have to check that thyroid is away because thyroid function is compromised, so that needs to be checked. But the basics, get the basics right first before you go anywhere else.
Completely agree. I mean that's the bread and butter for a GP. I mean for me to prescribe something, it's a big deal. So we always try to get back to basics.
Absolutely.
And I was just, what a thought that just came into my head there is, I mean, in the Instagram age, and look, obviously I'm on Instagram, so look, I do think there's positives from it, but I see so much of, you have to achieve your goals, or you can never miss a Monday, or if you're tired, you keep going, or the days that you're tired are the ones that, you know, mean the most. And it's just like gym, exercise.
I think that's why us strong women, Darren, who people look up to, need to say, hang on here.
Stop.
If you're an empowered woman, you do your own thing. You're only living one life.
Yeah.
You're not coming through a second time.
Yeah.
Okay? You listen to yourself. You don't listen to Kim Kardashian.
Totally.
Do you understand? I really think that's what we have to do, and we have to be led by what we want, not by what someone else is doing, and say, hang on here, that's not for me. You know, I think that's where we need, and we need to lead from the front and say it's actually okay to do what you feel is right and not what somebody else thinks. That's really important.
And in your life, do what's right for you in your life, because I'm asked all the time, will I show what I eat in a day or exercise in a day? Sure, that's useless.
Absolutely.
You know, to somebody else with a completely different
life. Different,
there's no point. And
I'm
not setting myself out there as what
absolutely.
I think. I don't want people to copy me. I just want to empower people with information.
That's it. You know, but as I empower them to be themselves and to do what's right for them, as you said. So right. I don't want to forget to talk about perimenopause and menopause, Darren, if you don't mind.
Sure, of course.
Because perimenopause is all those women will go through. And basically that's when the eggs are getting quite low in the ovary, usually from 45 on, but some women it does happen from 35 on, but usually 45 to 50. So if the eggs have become depleted, the FSH that controls the egg production, goes up in the hormone control centre.
Yeah.
So it goes way up, right?
Okay.
So if you are not pacing, like most women aren't, then the hormones are crashing at every nerve muscle junction. That's why women are getting aches and pains, exhausted, right? And also they're getting emotional, okay? They're getting the brain fog. Yeah. These are all the symptoms. They might get sweating as well, right?
Yeah.
But it's a lot of it is just exhaustion, right?
Yeah.
It's not just all estrogen deficiency, okay?
Okay?
Obviously, they'll get vaginal dryness as well. And there's loads of wonderful medications and pesticides out, as you know, that have been shown, thankfully, to be safe and not to cause cancer, which is wonderful.
Sure.
So the women should get help, right?
Yeah.
But this is an area that I want women to educate themselves about. And one of the lovely things that I was delighted with is Clean Marine, which is a natural product, asked me to give a talk around the country on hormone health with Lorraine Keane.
Yes.
And I was delighted that it was a natural product that was coming with all the different supplements of to help bone and B6, B12 and omega-3 and all these wonderful things that the women need. But what I liked was it wasn't just a hard sell. It was about, they were going to try and educate women, which was so necessary, about perimenopause and menopause.
Okay.
So perimenopause is that transition period prior to when the eggs are completely depleted.
Yeah.
So that FSH is going up on a curve from 45 to 50 and usually doesn't, the periods don't cease completely till 53 to 55.
Yes.
Right? So a lot of women think just because the period goes at 50 that they're fine.
Mm.
You have to carry the pads around the bag because you could get a deluge 6 months later.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really important to tell people.
Really important, because I mean, and it's still in my head, I'm thinking from a contraception point of view, like you do need to be careful. So isn't it?
And you've brought up a great point. And Darren, sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you, but I want to empower women that when you've had your children, I don't want you getting a tubal ligation. It does bring on menopause, right?
Me either.
I go mad.
I'm really excited about what you're going to say. I'm really excited. I know what it's going to be.
You tell your lovely husband, you say, or your partner,
amazing,
you say, darling, I want you to now go for the vasectomy.
Yeah.
You do not, under any circumstances, you've done your bit. It's up to men. And Jerry Ryan was amazing that time when he came out on the radio and said, before his time, before we were in this real empowered space, listen, I've done it. Fair dues to him. But, you know, we haven't moved along. We haven't taken up the, and we need to get women to really empower themselves and say, darling, it's time
totally
for you.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
My listeners are going to think that I put you up to saying
no,
that because I'm
didn't.
Always saying it. I'm always saying it.
Good girl. Well done.
Look, because as you say, Finnish family, because I get asked, you know, I'm Finnish my family, what's the best for me now? Vasectomy. Vasectomy.
Oh, yes,
vasectomy.
Without question. And there's no complications with it at all once they get it done by the right person, which we know, go
safe.
To a surgeon who specialises in
or
it.
Or GPs can do it, Mary.
And GPs do it as well, absolutely.
GP surgery.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the key. But yeah. But they have to, we have to really make this way more.
Big time.
Educate young men that they've got a responsibility to stand up and help their spouses. It's just terrible. I had a young woman in, 33 years of age. This is a true story. Three young children. She would often got a tubal ligation. Ovarian artery. Here's what happens. And she went into a menopause. Can you imagine a 33 with three young kids under the age of three? And she got a horrendous menopause with flushing, sweating. Yeah. You know, can you imagine? It was just, so it's just a tragedy. And a tragedy that she felt it needful to do that.
Yeah.
So I think this is where we need to empower women and say, hang on here. You know, if you loved yourself enough, and how would you feel if your daughter did that in 30 years' time? You'd be absolutely appalled.
Yeah.
But you don't love yourself enough to actually, warrant self-respect and say, darling, time for you now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I mean, a woman has carried the babies, delivered the children. I mean, the least
thing
I can do.
Absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
Some women as well ask me about tubal ligation. General anaesthetic.
Absolutely.
Surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say major surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'm going for clinical experience I don't believe there's a lot of research out there saying it's fine. It's in my experience, which is quite vast.
Yes.
I've had a lot of patients go into premature menopause with it. So I will not allow any of my patients to do it, and I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
You know, so if your husband will not go for vasectomy, talk to the GP about the Marina coil.
Yeah.
But I really think that the vasectomy should be more used. I really do.
And it can be done by,
absolutely.
I know there's a GP here in Cork who does, can be done in the
very safe
office.
Procedure. It doesn't have any consequences for the man. He still has his desires. He still enjoys the experience. So all there is no sperm in the semen. That's it. So that's what we
people
need
are
to.
Going to think I put you up to saying that because I'm always saying
not at all. So menopause then, just very quickly, Darren.
Yeah.
So the key thing is to know the symptoms and to know so that you don't think you're losing it, because a lot of women actually think they're losing it because they're so exhausted and they feel so down. And the down is not depression. The down is just exhaustion.
Yeah.
So you plug in, you pace, you take your natural supplements like your sage or your clean marine.
Okay.
You make sure you look after your bone health. So because when estrogen goes down, your bone health is compromised.
Yes.
So you take your vitamin D and make sure that you have enough vitamin D no matter what age you are, because we have low levels of vitamin D and that controls hormones and contributes to hormone function. So really important. Your omega-3, because cardiac health is very important post-menopause, because we're more vulnerable. We've lost that estrogen effect. Yeah.
And this is another thing. I mean, post-menopausal women are the number one in society at risk of a heart
attack. That's right.
But we always imagine the older male executive, but it's postmenopausal women.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm the spokesperson for the Heart Foundation with regard to women's heart disease. And purely we're trying to get that across that women, once they're menopausal, you've got to make sure your lipids are okay, cholesterol,
heart
the works. Yeah, absolutely.
Big time.
Yeah.
Because I do think that we have the idea that it's a stressed male executive.
Yes.
But it's postmenopausal women, and their symptoms can oftentimes be atypical.
You're so right. Yeah, they often don't get the chest pain or they just get tiredness just what they think is indigestion. So that's very important.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's loads of other things, as you know, Darren, and I would say to all women, talk to your GP about it. But, there's a lot you can do naturally. Obviously get their lipids checked, get their bone health checked, get their DEXA done. But also if they need HRT to discuss it with their GP, and provided it's safe to do so, yes, they can do it. But there's loads of other steps. I always say HRT should be left until everything else is done. I don't want everyone going HRT. I think it should be left for a certain subgroup, because the majority don't need it. 20% do, but the others don't.
Okay.
But that's what
so
I say.
In the first instance, don't go, HRT is very safe and it can be life changing.
Brilliant.
But
you
need to get back to basics first and make sure that you are rested and the pituitary
absolutely.
Is rested.
Absolutely.
Okay, and you're getting your diet, sleep and exercise right.
Absolutely.
First.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And a lot of people do really well with that and the natural, and they may not need But if they do, then
it's
go
ahead.
Absolutely. Okay. And the lovely thing is that, you know, GPs are so well versed now in menopause. It's brilliant. So when you do go, you're going to be listened to.
Yes.
And that's really important.
That's it. Yes. I mean, we really are learning more and more about it. Yeah. And it's great because we feel that we really can do something for women.
Totally. Yeah. And there's a lot of peripheral nerve pain people get as well. And we can do a lot for that as well. So a lot of people get aches, pains, the muscles, they have the IBS, they have the restless legs. And there's great medication for that.
And that's
wonderful, as you know, because we in diabetics pain and we use our low dose amitriptyline all the time, and it's brilliant. But the other thing is magnesium is important as well. You know, magnesium and vitamin D really do help with those, particularly magnesium with the restless legs, just to tell that to women as well. That's very important.
I didn't know that. And then, so in terms of the important vitamins are, you said B6, which I knew about, definitely. That's a good one for PMS as well, isn't
it? Brilliant. B6, B12. Believe it or not, evening primrose oil is rubbish. You know, we were all brought up thinking it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It's not. It's rubbish. So stop taking it.
Amazing. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Now, I know it is rubbish, definitely for PMS and for menopause, but I think I know the breast surgeons do use it for breast tenderness.
Yes,
cyclical breast tenderness.
Yeah. Starflower oil is probably better. So you need your B6, your B12, you need your magnesium.
Okay.
I mean, now all of these, as I said, are in a lot of the supplements. So we were talking, and we'll go back to that. But B6, B12, omega-3, your folic acid, very important, obviously. And then what else? What other one did I leave out? Vitamin D. B6, B12, omega-3, and the magnesium. They're the big ones. They're the big ones, yes. With regard to the breast tenderness, a lot of that is just if the pituitary gland is rested, that will settle. The diet, that honestly is just all FSH, LH ratio off.
Wow.
And by you resting and pacing, a lot of that will settle.
That's fascinating. I can't wait to go back to Peter with that information, because Peter sees a lot
of course,
breast tenderness and breast pain in which there's no cause for it.
Yes,
but maybe there is a cause if they are asking him to do the send back to GP and do the FSH and LH
ratio and thyroid as well, to check that, and also to check that they're doing everything that they should be doing.
Yes,
you know, and one way of doing that, Erin, is to ask people to give you their daily routine. I find that's really good. So tell me what you do for morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 minutes will do it. But you'll get a feel for what this woman is doing and whether she is racing around or whether she is, taking the time like she should.
And resting herself at night time. So our diet, you've really gone through that really nicely. What about sage? How do you take sage? Is that in a supplement?
Tablet form usually, but I did say that there's a good few medications that have all in one. So Clean Marine Menamentos have it all in one. So there's one for women, say, before menopause, and then there's one for after menopause. I like that, because these tablets can cost a fortune otherwise. So if you get.
And you don't need to spend
exactly, a lot of money. You don't. So if you can get them all in one, all the better, you know, and that's a good idea. Plus, I don't want people taking too much phytoestrogen. Like natural estrogen, it's all about taking the right amount, you know, and that's a key thing, because some people just take too much, and that's not right either.
So, because I got a nice question actually from one of my followers, and they knew I was coming in to talk to you. I thought it was a really nice, interesting question. When you're, say, in the perimenopause or menopausal, and your estrogen levels are dipping. Is there I know some foods are higher in estrogen. Mm. So should we stay away from them? Should we eat them? What should we do?
No, it's all about moderation. I'm a big believer in moderation. So if you what we said to eat, that's the key. Get those coloured veg in. They've loads of vitamin minerals, and that's the key.
Okay.
And nothing excessive. Extremes in anything is not good. And that's my message always. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, and what are foods? Because I know soy products can be high in estrogens.
Absolutely. So but I mean, again, if you're just having, if you're just having your bananas and there are loads of tryptophan and all that, you know, if you're having those in your soya based foods, that's fine.
Sure.
But it's like you're not having the morning, noon and night.
Yeah.
You're just having it maybe for dinner or whatever. That's fine.
Just moderation.
Moderation, absolutely. And they are good. I'm delighted you brought that up, because you know the Japanese have lesser menopausal symptoms than we have here in the Western world because of their soya based products.
Yeah.
Imagine. So it definitely do help, but it's all about not overdoing it.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's getting a balance there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Absolutely.
Mary.
And thyroid, I just want to mention, dear, before I forget it. So thyroid disease, as I said, is 90% more common in women.
Yeah.
But overactive or underactive. Overactive symptoms are where you're very irritable, you know, palpitations, you know, really flushing, just feeling absolutely awful and very irritable. So the thyroid could be off there. Underactive then, where you're very sluggish, you're putting on weight, you know, you're not eating too much.
Yeah.
You also might notice edema around the legs. So that would be a sign of underactive. have very dry hair, dry skin, that would be all sign of underactive thyroid.
Yes.
So very important to get that right. And people particularly trying to get pregnant, very important that they check the thyroid. I'll always remember a story, and this is a true story of a lovely, lovely couple that came into me, and they'd gone through, and I see this so much, they'd gone through 5 sessions of IVF, and they said, "Doctor, I knew you were a last resort." And I sort of thought, "Oh gosh, pressure here,
pressure,
you know."
Yeah.
But anyway, when I checked her hormones, her thyroid was off.
Okay.
And replaced her thyroid, and lo and behold, she got pregnant. And a few years later, the couple came in, lovely couple, and they said, "Dr. Ryan, we hate asking you this, but we're going to need something to stop, because she's literally, you know, produced a child every year for the last 3 years." A lovely story, yes. And you know,
the opposite,
and of course,
problem.
I said to him, "Look at, you know," and he was a lovely man. I said,
"Yeah,
no,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
over
Protectomy,
to you."
Yeah,
exactly, because she's gone through all her IVF and everything. And
okay.
and fair enough, he did. But the point is that thyroid is critical. You
yes.
know, it's critical for hormone control centre. It's critical for all hormonal well-being.
Mm.
So very important that it's checked. It really is, particularly in women.
And tell me, so as a GP now, I've always done them. I don't know if there's going to be lab workers that are rolling their eyes at me. I always do the T3 and T4.
Absolutely, and TSH.
And yeah, and of course the TSH as well is really critical. But what about the T3? Because I know that because I've spoken to some endocrinologists say, no, it's not clinically relevant, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be doing it or shouldn't I be?
The TSH?
The T3.
Not really. The
okay,
T4
okay.
and T is, the T4 TSH is enough. But
okay.
I know there is a big American thing with T3. But
yes.
to be honest with you, if patients are well rested, they should be converting to T3.
Okay.
Yeah, they should be going, because you convert from T4 to T3. So patients should be converting if they're well rested and well recharged. The
that's
only
really
people
nice
that wouldn't
know.
Be is if they're exhausted. You know,
okay.
then that's why they wouldn't be converting. But the key thing is to go back and get them to recharge and make sure.
Okay.
That would be.
That's something I get asked
yeah.
a lot, because
yeah.
I think a lot of women, if they're not feeling right and they come and people are almost disappointed when their thyroid is
yes,
normal.
Yes.
And then they're saying, "Well, should I fasten the T3? But now you're saying, really, no. Like TSH and T4, those are where it's
yeah.
at.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we treat this. So, and then I got asked as well, like, you know, women know about these things.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Really
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So then if you have the TSH. So if that is abnormal, but your T4 is normal, so that's a kind of a subclinical then.
Yeah, and again, that's all down to tiredness. You know, if
okay.
you're over tired, that's critical, or a major illness. You know, if you're at a viral illness,
yes.
Atlantic
okay.
fever, sepsis, anaesthetics can do it, because anaesthetics
okay.
affect the pituitary very much.
Yeah. Okay.
So all of those would be causes of that.
Okay.
And thyroiditis then, where you get a viral illness affecting your thyroid, again, you know, the regulation, it's critical. People that are overtired, women tend to get this in particularly. I had one man that got it, but he was doing shift work. So,
shift
you know,
oh,
that
God,
affects the immune system, and that's
yeah.
why he got his virus affecting his thyroid. And,
yeah.
and he, you know, the fact that he kept doing the shift work meant it didn't settle. I'd actually to pull him out of it.
Mm.
So, you know, this is key.
Yeah,
yeah.
My heart, because I
yeah.
shift work.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Shift work is dreadful. It really is very tough, and it's certain people are just not cut out for it. So,
yes.
some people that you know do okay,
do fine.
Yeah, but there's certain people that just can function. I've loads of guards, for example,
yeah.
that you know the night usually just kills them,
yeah.
and they just can't do it. And I'm yeah. they're used to me in Phoenix Park now doing the letters, you know.
Yeah.
But they're genuine, because
yes.
those people just cannot function, whereas some people do.
And some
you know?
People do really well.
Yeah.
And I felt like such a wimp, Mary, when I was a junior doctor, because
yeah.
I couldn't do it.
No, but you just need that recharging.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're high powered and you give off loads of energy and you
yeah.
use it, you know. And
yeah.
those people need to recharge more. So, you know, if you're
okay.
one of those that, you know, is go, go, go,
yeah.
you do need to recharge.
That's
where
me.
Some people are just chilled and they don't expend a lot
yes.
and therefore they don't need the recharging. You know, that's the reality.
That's,
so it all depends
yeah.
on the type of person you are.
Yeah, you're really describing
yeah.
me. Like, I definitely, because
yeah.
I'm go, 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 go,
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
But then I do need like 9 hours sleep
yeah,
to be
but that's
normal.
Because you do
yeah.
so much, you
yeah.
know. So if you're more chilled, you wouldn't need that much, but
yeah.
that's not who you are. So
yeah.
so that's fine, so long as you plug in.
God, like, I'm having all of these, like, you're such a wealth of knowledge. You know it all, you've seen it all.
Not at all.
So, and then as well, I was asked as well a little bit about adrenal fatigue. So that's the same idea, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because once your pituitary gland is tired, your ACTH, which controls your adrenal glands, is going, the pulse isn't going to be coming as fast. So that's why. So it all links up to the hormone control centre, which is the pituitary. So if the pituitary is tired, your adrenal gland is going to be tired, because your ACTH pulse isn't going to be coming, because that's how hormones work, is all circadian rhythm. So that's not coming as fast as it should be. So therefore, cortisol levels are going to be low. And,
yeah.
you know, I often get patients coming in saying, do I have Addison's? And they don't. They just have low cortisol. because their adrenal gland is tired and their pituitary is tired. But the, you know, when, if you were to do the test, that's all I would see is low cortisol, and their synaptin test is always fine, right? Yeah. But what I always say to patients is the reason those patients get panic attacks is when you get stressed, your cortisol is supposed to go up. Mm. But in patients that are exhausted, the cortisol doesn't go up. So therefore, they get the peripheral nerve spasm, because the hormones are down at every nerve muscle junction, so they get the respiratory muscle spasm. So panic attacks are actually, it's a wrong word, because it's not in their head. It's actually real.
Yes, it's
just
real.
That they're exhausted and they're wrecked, and that's what you have to tell them and you have to reassure them. So I think we have to get away from all this labelling of mental, you know, telling people that they're depressed or it's in their head, or, you know, and that actually, no, you're just wrecked. And menopausal women, the same. I had a lovely woman that came into me, and she was really emotional, and she was so anxious that her husband had to go everywhere with her, and she was a lorry driver, and she had to be in the lorry with him all the time. And she was a lovely woman, but the one thing she came in and said, "Dr. Ryan, I hope I don't end up in a psychiatric institution, because my mother was locked away." And I said, "No, you won't. You'll be fine. Don't worry." And we got her right. But it just shows you how women of the previous generation were treated, because there wasn't that knowledge.
Yes.
And it's wonderful that we've come such a way in 30 years.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, because that woman, you know, not only did she do well, but her daughter was relieved to think, oh my gosh, I probably might face that, but at least I know I'm not going to, you know, end up being locked away. And that's brilliant, you know. So,
and I mean, we have come a long way, but we've got a way to go.
Yeah, totally.
Because I still do see so many women just put themselves last.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. We're empowering them. We're saying, it's, you know, we're equal. And as women, we need to demand equality. So we need to do that through all society and the church. We need to demand equality. We need to demand it for gender pay. Everyone should be paid the same if they're working the same amount. And, you know, in all spheres of society, politically, we need to see, you know, women being represented.
Yeah.
And in inheritance as well. So right across the board, women need to demand it.
That's it.
I think the surname, we'll have to have a talk about
that
down the road.
I'll have to come back to you with that.
You will.
You'll have to get on to me about that one. So is there anything else now we're leaving out? Because really interesting point. So when I... I don't know, I think of postpartum hair last year.
Yeah, I do.
Will we do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know what's really interesting, Mary, is when before we came in here today, I kind of set up a few questions that I was going to ask you, and I put them all into different categories.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've gotten the message from you today is that all of our hormonal kind of our systems, like PMS, fertility, adrenal fatigue, thyroid, menopause, it all just comes back to the pituitary and rest and get the basics right. So they're
absolutely
not separate.
No, they're not separate, and they shouldn't be treated as separate, because if they are, the whole circadian rhythm is off.
Yes.
So that the hormone control center, the conductor of the orchestra, needs to be completely recharged. When it is, everything functions great.
That's an eye opener for me, and even how it affects IBS and everything. Mm. So I've really learned just so much from you today.
Not at all.
And then actually one other thing I wanted to ask you before we finish up is something that I asked a lot about, and something I know nothing about, which is awful. Postpartum hair loss.
Okay.
Can you give us any nuggets of wisdom?
Absolutely. So right after pregnancy, obviously, is a high hormonal state. So I get these women that are exhausted prior to pregnancy, but then they're great during pregnancy because it's a high hormonal state, so feel great. But after you have your labour, the hormones crash in the pituitary, right? And therefore, you get that whack. And the other problem is that women are not resting. And this is why I'm going on about breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is great, but let's not talk about breastfeeding saves the planet or climate change, right? We shouldn't be putting that pressure on women, right?
Yeah.
For some, breastfeeding is great because they're able for it. Some, they're not. If you're one of those people like me that you need your sleep, then you can't do it, right? I get women coming in pumping at night and working during the day. Crazy stuff. It's not doable, right?
Yeah.
And your health is going to suffer. Right. So what happens is when you get overtired, the pituitary gland is exhausted, so the hormones crash at every nerve muscle junction. But remember, the skin is an organ, and the scalp is an organ, so that's why you lose the hair, right?
Okay.
So one of the things that works really well is first of all making sure the hormones are right. So thyroid might be off. Thyroid is actually often off right after, you know, if someone is really tired. So that might have to be corrected, and people don't have to stay in ultroxin forever. It might be just for a short time. What really does work as well is the magnesium works really well. The vitamin D is essential, right?
Okay.
A lot of women are, you know, the vitamin D isn't adequate, particularly after pregnancy. So it's very important that that's replaced. But the other thing that works is the Regain solution works really really, really well.
Okay.
You know, that really works. And again, just for a short time. You don't have to. But there's no point doing one thing in isolation.
Sure.
It all has to be done together.
Yes.
And that's really the key.
Mary, I could talk to you all day.
Not at all. It was an absolute
pleasure to
have you. Not at all. And Darren, you're a great person. All you've gone through, and you're just wonderful. You're smiling there, and that's helping a huge amount of women. And well done. I think you're fantastic as well.
And I could say the exact same thing about you, Mary, as well. And
you've
really helped me. So then I'll be able to bring that as well, like, to my patients and my daily practice.
Great. I'm delighted.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. You're so welcome. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.